Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hard Knock Life for us.
One of the most popular musicals of all time is back. See Annie, Broadway's favorite orphan, live on stage in an all-new production, hailed by the Chicago Tribune as one of the best family musicals ever written. Annie is back to spread hope for all the hard knocks life throws your way. So clear away those sorrows and get your tickets to Annie today.
Annie comes to the San Jose Center for the Performing Arts from January 10th through the 15th. Get tickets now at BroadwaySanJose.com.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
All right, so let's dive into the QB1 aspect of our podcast. Okay, Dan, defining moment, our categories, defining moment on the bright side, and big number. Let's start with defining moment. What was it for you?
For me, it's easy. It's the play that Justin got injured on, and it's a first down play on the final drive. I had a chance to get over to the Falcons locker room Sunday afternoon and talk to D. Alford, and he said, look, like, we were reading this play. We saw Darnell Mooney, you know, at the snap, and Alford is responsible for setting the edge on that play, given the way that run is going. And so he just makes a play and said he used his speed to beat the Bears offensive line. And when he did, he got to Justin. And what was notable to me about it, David, is that it was pretty routine play and a pretty routine tackle. You know, there was nothing crazy about the play or anything crazy about the tackle. It was just a hit along the sideline that set Justin down in an awkward fashion. And he landed on the shoulder and he was hurt. And so, you know, we've obviously detailed what else happened on that drive, but it was just not a good start to a game ending drive. And it was just unfortunate that they got there. I also think it illuminates a little bit of how well the Falcons managed to defend the quarterback run on Sunday afternoon, right? This wasn't, as you mentioned, one of the best defenses in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination. And they came in with Dean Pease, their coordinator, and had a plan. And D. Alford said after the game that, you know, when we talked about it on our postgame pod, that they understood that the Bears were one-dimensional and they thought they could keep them one-dimensional and contain that one dimension. And when you have a, you know, a 31st, 32nd ranked defense having confidence against you because you don't do enough things to be a well-rounded offense, it's notable. And so that was just, it was just a play where it's like, okay, you know, Justin's yards per carry average was the lowest it's been since week two. And that's because you had a defense that figured out ways to slow him down. And you could obviously argue that Justin's own legs slowed him down because he was cramping and he was physically limited. But certainly asking the question about, is the league going to adjust to this? There was a one game example of, well, they might.
I think that I have a ton of respect for that staff. I know a couple people on that staff, certainly John Hoke, the secondary coach, Dean Pease. I remember Dean Pease when spending a year at Notre Dame. I mean, he's been around forever. And I do think they may have the lowest or the second lowest ranked defense in the NFL pass-wise, but I do like a lot of things that they used against Justin Fields effectively and the Bears overall. So I was a little surprised at how well they did play defensively. My defining moment for Justin Fields was on the 3rd and 12 play from the Falcons 20. And it was a play that Next Gen Stats clocked it lasting 10.98 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think from start to finish, it was actually might have been 12, but he scrambled for that long. Looking, buying himself some time. improvisation, plays that were off script were always the better plays for Justin Fields. Finally, he found
EQ.
St. Brown for a gain of 14 yards and the first down. I'll tell you why it was defining for me. Number one, it was vintage Justin Fields because that's what he does so well. But also, I think that it showed you that he's on that series alone, he made two big plays in the passing game. He scrambled and found David Montgomery earlier on the best throw of his day. We'll get to that later. But then you get the ball back. That's why you build up, you score a touchdown on that drive by making plays in the passing game. And I was all revved up and ready to go to watch him go out and make some more. And then you call two running plays on the first. So it was defining for me because it made an impression, and that's what you're looking for. That was a memorable play because of what it brought out in Justin Fields.
Yeah, we'll get a little bit more into the third down stuff when I give you my big number in a few minutes, but that was certainly a play that made happen. Just one more note on the way the Falcons defended the run. Justin brought it up himself after the game that there was a mesh charge defense to the zone read game, right? And when you go back and watch it, they did a really good job of limiting the Bears in zone read by taking that defensive end and having him come vertically, right, instead of surfing horizontally
there.
And when you do that, you sort of force the quarterback to keep the ball. And if you have the right help behind you from a second level linebacker or a safety potentially helping you there, you can limit that. And so, Justin offered that up post game and going back through the rewatch today, there's several examples where you go, damn, that was a pretty good strategy executed very well, right? And so that those are the things that the Bears are going to have to counter and continue playing chess against as they go forward whenever Justin Fields is healthy again.
Okay, the next category is on the bright side.
So my on the bright side, we've got another record for Justin Fields, and it was the fifth consecutive game in which Justin Fields has had both a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. Only one quarterback in the history of the NFL has gone five straight games scoring both with his feet and his arm. It was Kyler Murray. So the next time Justin has a start, he's got a chance to set that NFL record and take it over from Kyler Murray. And David, I think when you look at the two plays that they scored on, wonderfully designed plays executed well, right? And this is what we asked for years. You want to see a Bears offense that knows who it is, does things the right way, and then their players capitalize when the moments are there. The touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney on the first drive of the game, just a great switch release, and Darnell uses the pick from EQ really well, creates separation, and Justin puts the ball there in the back left corner of the end zone. Boom, touchdown, right? You've got your connection between your quarterback and your top receiver, and you've just matched the Falcons' opening touchdown. Then you get the run from Justin, which is a Equanimeous St. Brown, an assist on that one as well, blocking at the point, and then just a convoy of Bears blockers out in front that gave Justin the room and the vision to cut back and take it in. And man, like we've talked for a couple years now about what kind of a weapon this quarterback can be at the low red zone. They're using it to their full advantage.
I'm glad you mentioned that play. I just want to take a quick second to call myself out here because I do think that it's important to, because I have understated and minimized the role of blocking as a wide receiver. And Equanimeous St. Brown, now the first touchdown to Mooney, that was an outright pick play. If I'm playing defensive back for the Falcons,
can't defend it. Yeah.
I'm crying about it because it's like you can't defend it and you can't stop it. And he ran the perfect route. Mooney did too, but that EQ did what he was supposed to do. But most importantly, on these designed runs in the red zone, when you watch Equanimeous St. Brown go into the middle and seal a running lane and block a linebacker, I think it was an outside linebacker, you gain respect for this guy. This is why he's playing. I'm looking for it here. This is why he played 50 snaps.
Yeah.
72% of the snaps. That's why he's on the field second most to Darnell Mooney, is because he does a little bit. He's a football player. And I have dismissed and diminished that because I'm like, well, if he's a wide receiver whose best quality is his blocking, it matters, especially when you have a team leaning into the running game as much as the Bears do. So I need to call myself out there. I will not make that mistake again.
You'd still like to see more than two catches for 24 yards, but
point all right. Made. Yeah, points well taken. Points well taken. But if I'm a defensive back, I hated guys like that because this was a guy that a running play, you couldn't. It was hard to tell because he didn't give up. He didn't have any tendencies because he was a willing blocker. Willing blockers were the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I digress. On the bright side for me, I'm going to go back to the David Montgomery, first and 10 from the 50. He scrambles. He sees Montgomery on a wheel route. He points. Then he throws on the run. Young quarterbacks who can throw like that on the run, they don't think, they just react. I love everything about that from Justin Fields. That was maybe one of his, you know, I know it's only his second season, probably a top three or top five pass in terms of accuracy and effectiveness. 32-yard gain to number 32, and I thought that was my on the bright side moment for Justin Fields.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's a good one. And it's, you know, evidence of growth, right? And I know we're going to get into the Yahoo category in a minute. And I always feel like I need to have like the narrator's voice at the end of those prescription drug commercials to say, Dan Reederer does believe in Justin Fields' growth and has seen him making potential. And like, you know, you have to have this whole disclaimer before you levy one bit of criticism on the starting quarterback, but away we go.
And so let's get into Dan Reederer's favorite category, the Yahoo category.
It's not my favorite category. I'm, don't typecast me like that. I'm the angry mob. I was going to come with pitchforks.
I know.
They're on the lawn.
I'm standing guard for you.
I'm taking the last play of the last drive, and we talked about why that interception was just a fundamental breakdown. The footwork was terrible. The throw was bad, and it was just a bad punctuation to a bad half, right? Like, the Bears offense had had nine consecutive halves in which they had scored in double digits, and that was broken Sunday in the second half. They only scored on one of four possessions. They got that touchdown and nothing else. And so you end up losing a 3-point game because for the first time in a month, your offense stalled for a little bit, right? And couldn't get itself going. And I think they're, you know, in a 99-yard second half for the Bears offense on Sunday, which was not what we were used to seeing over the previous 3 or 4 weeks. It's okay. They're allowed that every once in a while. We can't expect them to be scoring in the 30s every week or having these explosive plays every week. But ultimately, David, it just comes back to the idea of wanting to see this offense respond in crunch time, right? Like, just one time, like, and then two times, and then three times, right? Like, understand what excellence in the NFL looks like and why you've got a convenient escape hatch that, oh, it's a losing season and we're 3-8 and none of this matters and we'll figure it out one day. You would love to see that response. And for the third consecutive week, they didn't have it.
All right, that's a good one. My uh-oh moment changed from this morning to this afternoon, and it was after hearing Matt Eberflus. My uh-oh moment was the second down play, and I think that probably bothered me as much as any. It's a mental mistake, and I don't even know whose it was, but I watched that play probably 15 times after hearing that it was supposed to be a handoff to David Montgomery. It looked like a play that you just didn't know what was going on, but Justin Fields treated it like a read option, and he sort of made the handoff motion, and then he beat David Montgomery into the hole, and then he exposed himself to an injury and to make a bad situation worse. And he left the impression that Luke Getsy was calling the quarterback's number after the quarterback was injured. So he created this false narrative, and it was a mental mistake. Now, was it his mental mistake? I don't know. But it was an uh-oh for the offense, and that, to me, is the bottom line. You have a situation there. You're on a potential game-winning drive. It's second down. You just had a timeout to regroup because of the injury, and you have a mental breakdown like that. That, to me, is the ultimate uh-oh moment.
My last asterisk on this is that in the rewatch on Monday morning, I realized that the Bears offense had come so far that, you know, a game where they put up 24 points felt so disappointing, right? Like, and it was a reminder that, man, really, they have come a long way in a short period of time, and they are doing things that we asked them to do. And I think there are times where Justin makes high level throws, right, that look great. And then there's times where he misses a, you know, 67-yard touchdown to Darnell Mooney because he doesn't get it, you know, to the right spot at the times. And there were moments in the rewatch where you just see some hesitance to let it rip at times. You know, you got a clean pocket, you got a guy in a one-on-one matchup, and he's not open per se, but he's open by NFL standards. And if you trust your guys, make that throw. You saw a couple times when he did give guys a chance. I mean, the one-handed catch by Komet, David.
Oh my gosh.
You know, my son told me when I got home from the airport this morning that was number one on SportsCenter's top 10. So Cole Komet gets that honor, even though his scoring streak ends at three games. But I mean, that's an example, right? Like, just put it out there and trust every once in a while that your guys are going to be the best guy on the play and make a play for you.
Did he say, Dad, you were right about Cole?
He knew I was right long ago, David. He knew I was right long ago.
All right, last category for the QB1 breakdown is the big number.
All right, so I promised, I teased this a couple minutes ago. Third down, My number is five. The Bears are up to fifth in the NFL, David, in third down efficiency, which is remarkable considering where they were going into the mini bye week and what they've done now to elevate that. 9 for 16 on Sunday felt routine, right? Like it was their third consecutive game over 50%. They're crawling closer to Luke Getsy's self-appointed standard of 48%. I think they're at 45.6% now for the season league-wide, and obviously much higher than that to boost that total up there. And so you see an offense, like I said just a minute ago, that has made undeniable growth in that category. And that's huge, because if you're an offense that can succeed on third down and succeed inside the red zone, you're going to give yourself a chance to be in every single game you play, and then you've got a chance to win it at the end.
That's a good one. Okay, my big number is 18. And that's the number of carries that Justin Fields had. And that's a career high. And I don't think he's going to top it. I don't think you're going to see Justin Fields carry more than 18 times again this season. And I think moving forward, it would really surprise me under, you know, we can't predict the future, but I think as the Bears continue to surround him with more talent and infrastructure, linemen and receivers, I'd be surprised if he gets beyond 18 again out of necessity, because this is not a good, workable, sustainable approach. You can sustain a running quarterback. You can't run him like a running back. 18 carries is a step in that direction. 18 carries yesterday for 85 yards. Boy, he can really, you know, get the tough yards. You don't want to ask him to, especially now. We don't know where this injury is headed, but I would be shocked if he carries 18 times again this year and moving forward next year. I don't know that he'll have to. So 18 would be my big number coming.
I'm with you. I'll contextualize it just a little bit to tell you. I counted 7 tuck and runs, 6 that went into the box score as rushing attempts, another one that ended up as a 2-yard sack because he couldn't escape. And then you mix in the miscommunication on the second down play, and you say, okay, well, there's 7 of those 18 right there that weren't, you know, designed runs. I still think we both agree that number needs to come down and probably will. We'll see where it goes from there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.